Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, one of the privileges that I have is getting to walk out after baptisms and go dry my eyes and pretending I wasn't crying. So if you didn't get a chance to do that, maybe we'll try to get you a Kleenex later. But I hope that moved your heart, and I hope you had you're blessed by being a part of that and seeing people share their stories. Maybe because of what was in the news this week, if you follow sports and last week, you've heard that Tom Brady is not having the best week possible. If you don't know who Tom Brady is, he's the quarterback for the New England Patriots, and I think his face might be perfect according to every woman I've ever talked to. So he has two things that he's really good at. Some people are shaking their heads no, so thank you for affirming people like me that aren't tall or tan. So I appreciate that. But last year when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, I don't know if you know this or not, but their coach, Bill Belichick, had the distinction of tying Chuck Knoll, who coached the Steelers back in the day, the Steel Curtain Steelers in the 70s. And so those guys are now tied for most Super Bowl wins ever. And so I think a lot of people look at them and say, like, they're the best. If you've got a goal and that's to win, and you've done that more than anyone else, then you're the best. And most people would look at the people that have four Super Bowls and say they're awesome. They look at the people that have two or three and say, that's pretty good. You're a millionaire. Congratulations. But I was recently looking at a story, and one of the guys who won three Super Bowls, in my opinion, is the best ever. And it's not because I'm a fan of his era of football or because I'm a fan of his, but his name is Bill Walsh. And he wasn't just great because he won Super Bowls, but I've seen many stories and articles about the way that he was able to reproduce himself in others. And so he wasn't just great because he coached great players, although he did. He was coaching the 49ers and Joe Montana and many of those people that some of us remember. But he was great because of the way he multiplied himself and the way he passed on his legacy. Once he even won a Super Bowl at the end of a season, retired, and he had trained up and created such a culture and a system that his team went on to win other Super Bowls, and like no one even knew that he left. And so I don't think that's saying, see, he wasn't really doing anything. It's saying that he understood success and that he understood a legacy, and he passed on what he did. And so I want to take a moment and show you a picture. You probably can't even read it. Maybe you have bad eyesight. I talked to someone today that just had laser surgery, so you should be able to read it because you paid a lot of money for that. But go ahead and check out this coaching tree. This is the people that have worked under Bill Walsh and the people that have come out of his legacy. And there's a lot of Super Bowl winners there. If you can't see, there's Mike Holmgren. There's lots of other people. There's Brian Billick. There's Mike Shanahan. There's people that we know now, people that we recognize, people that have been successful like Andy Reid and John Harbaugh. People that are now coaching the Packers. There's Tony Dungy on there who won a Super Bowl. There's all kinds of people who've gone on to be great head coaches and great assistants who have really been successful at what they do. And that's the legacy of Bill Walsh. And yet, I think you probably know that we're not here this morning to worship Bill Walsh, because some of you are thinking, I didn't even know who that guy was. And the ones that do know who he is, you're thinking, that was 20 years ago. Who cares, right? And so we've already said that our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We want to see people make a decision to trust Christ and then to live their lives for him, taking continuous steps of obedience toward him. And so our purpose today is not to glorify Bill Walsh, but to talk about what does it look like for us to take steps toward God. This series that we've been in, Roots, is really just exactly what it says. We're talking about some things that we should see in the life of a believer, things that will help you put down roots, things that will take your faith to a new place of maturity. And our church has been in a season of growth. There's a lot of exciting things going on right now, and yet we've only been in existence for 4 years, a little under that. And so sometimes I think people look at us, or maybe we look at ourselves and we think, like, okay, what will make us a deeper church? What will put us in a spot where we can reach and impact generations? And so this series is kind of built around some things that are all over the map, but we want to focus on things that will make us more mature and help us be a lasting church. And so as we talk today about multiplication, the point is not that you should go out and be an offensive coordinator or a head coach, but as people who have made a decision to live our lives for Jesus, we want to talk about what does it look like for us to be successful? What does it look like for us to pass on that legacy? And so let me just review some themes that we've been talking through in the last series, in the last couple weeks. These are things that you might think, like, oh yeah, we did talk about that. I guess I kind of forgot, or yeah, I think I remember him saying that. But I think it provides a backdrop and a foundation. And so, a few weeks ago, we talked about the fact that the gospel doesn't just invite us into a relationship with Jesus; But it invites us into the mission of making disciples. The gospel invites us into not just relationship with Jesus, but the mission of making disciples. And so we see that all throughout Scripture. We see that our job is not just to pray once a day and do nothing else, but as Christ followers, as people who are living the contagious mission of Jesus, we want to pass on the legacy that we've been given. We also said that you and I and us and we and everyone in here, we've been called and gifted by the Holy Spirit to pour out our lives, our location, and our vocation for the kingdom of God. So the fact that Jesus died for us, the fact that he builds a bridge to God the Father so that we can have relationship with him and know him, is not just something that we can say, thanks, Jesus, I really appreciate that. But we can then turn around and be generous and be giving with our lives the same way that he was with his on the cross. And so we can say, God made me an engineer who lives in Plain City for a reason. God made me a teacher who teaches in inner city Columbus for a reason. God put me in this firm for a reason. God made me a stay-at-home mom for a reason. All of the things that God has done in your life, all of the places that he has put you, can be used to impact and leverage for the kingdom of God. We also said that the gospel was meant to multiply exponentially, and so was the church. And so we said, just as the same way the gospel has passed from one person to another person to another person, we want to see that continue. We also want to see that continue in the form of churches and church planting. And so some of us were here in the beginning of Movement Church when there were like 15 people, and we were like, I hope this is a real church someday. We want to be the green light, and we want to be the courage for others as we send them to different places of the city and different parts of the world in America. And so we've kind of started a plan in place. We're getting ready to bring in a church planting resident, and we're going to send them and a team out in about a year and a half somewhere in Columbus. And so we said that's not something that should intimidate us, but there should and there probably will be people in the room who will say, I think God is asking me to do that. I think God is calling me to be a part of that church plan. And so we want to see the gospel multiply exponentially and also the church. And we concluded also that week, we said for that to happen, to multiply, you have to die to yourself. Sometimes for us to understand the goal and to understand multiplication, we have to realize that life isn't just about us and life isn't about everything that we want in every moment. And since it's Mother's Day, I'll mention it again. Most of you moms have probably learned that, right? You've learned that life isn't always about you because of the way you're gracious, because of the way you serve, and because of the way you enable us husbands to be super lazy. So thank you for that. But seriously, sometimes for us to multiply, sometimes for us to pass on a legacy, we have to let go of some of the things that we selfishly want. And we have to say, Lord, I'm living for you. I'm serving you. My life is about your kingdom. And so I'm going to make decisions that are not always what my selfish heart wants. I'm going to make decisions that are about you and about your kingdom. And so I want us to turn to a passage today as we kind of continue in that line of thinking. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, it's on page 914. If you've got a Bible there under you or in front of you, you can steal it under someone's chair and look that up with us. Page 914, 2 Timothy 2, 2. And the book of 1 Timothy, the book of 2 Timothy, were written to young leaders. This is a book that really emphasizes some things that need to be passed on. As the gospel spread and churches were grown in the New Testament, there are many things that were taught and said, but these books are kind of boiling down the final things that would need to be left to say, hey, you're a young leader. There's a lot of good things to do. I want you to make sure as a young leader, as a young church, that these things are happening in your life and that these things live on in your legacy. And so let me read this passage as we continue to think along this line of how we can mature our walk, how we can put down roots, and how we can be about the exponential growth of the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll start in verse 1 here. It says this, Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. And so this passage is saying, listen, you know the gospel. You know what I've said about what Jesus has done for you. That has taken hold in your heart, and we've seen that multiply from person to person to person. We've seen missionaries go out. We've seen people really live out the gospel and grow churches and start new churches, and you've seen that happen in your generation and in your day amongst your network of people. And yet this passage goes on to speak to Timothy and say, now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who would be able to pass them on to others. And so the goal of this is not just, hey, did you get the message? Okay, great. Just sit on it and never tell anyone else, or let it die with your generation. I just wanted you to know the love of God. We're all good here. No, this passage is saying if we understand what Jesus has done for us, if we understand how he's changed our lives and we understand his mission that he wants us to make disciples, as we saw Jesus make disciples, as the disciples passed on the gospel and grew the church and the apostles did that, as we've seen that happen, our mission is to spread that message further and pass that on to trustworthy people. And so the goal of this is not just to let the message go. The goal of this is kind of twofold, but they're saying this message should continue. Those of you who understand the gospel, have taken the gospel to heart, who understand that it's your job and your mission to multiply yourselves, you need to do that because that is maturity. So why are we talking about this in a series called Roots? Why does this come up? Because sometimes I think that we're often tempted to think like, well, I think putting roots down, I think maturity is having knowledge. If I could quote a book of the New Testament, I'd be awesome. God would know I'm awesome. People would know I'm awesome, and people would see that. And that's a piece of the gospel. That's a piece of growing in Christ. And yet this verse and this passage doesn't really just seem to say, hey, gather up a bunch of knowledge and you're good. Now, it's pretty ironic that we're saying that because just a few weeks ago, we said that one of our jobs as a believer, when we think about how we're going to live and how we're going to function for Jesus on Monday morning, we said that we should train for godliness. And so that involves spending time in God's word. That involves being disciplined and spending time in prayer and talking to him and communicating with him and being trained to live a godly life. That's a piece of the pie. We had 2 points that week if you weren't here. We said we should train for godliness, and then we said we should train hard for godliness, right? In case you weren't getting the picture, we said that this is something that's going to require effort and we should work at it. And yet the point is not just to train and to get ready and then to just sit on this knowledge. The picture that we're being given of maturity in this passage, that once you have that knowledge, once you have that boldness, once you've prepared, once you have that courage, that you need to accomplish the mission of being a disciple, and you need to pass that on. You need to make other disciples. And so the goal of being a disciple is making other disciples. And so am I saying it's bad to have knowledge? No. Am I saying it's bad to prepare? Am I saying it's bad to be a part of Bible study? Am I saying it's bad to spend time just on the spiritual disciplines and training for godliness? By no means am I saying that. But I'm saying that that preparation and that godliness and that knowledge and that maturity must be poured out. And if it's not being poured out, or if you're not pouring out as someone who the gospel has taken hold of, then there's a chance that you may not be as mature, you may not have as deep of roots as you think you do. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but Scripture tells us that's what maturity looks like. When we're multiplying the gospel, when we're multiplying the heart of God, and when we're raising up new leaders and other leaders, that is what maturity looks like. I'm not saying that it's bad to water a tree. I'm just saying that until that tree is making other trees, that the tree is not really ready to be considered full grown. I have several trees in my yard that are way too full grown right now, and every year I get excited about mulching because I'm kind of a landscaping nerd, and I put down mulch and I just think, oh, life is good, it's so pretty. And then I don't know what they're really called, we call them helicopters in my family, right? Out of these trees, like 10 million of them fall out, and you can't tell that I've ever mulched, and it just looks like someone threw like a bunch of leaves on top of the mulch, and I cry and it breaks my heart and it makes me upset. But those trees are multiplying themselves. When you plant a tree in the ground and you're like, well, there it is, it's been in the ground for 1 hour, it's about 3 feet tall, I think we're good here. You don't just walk away and consider it full grown, but you water that tree, you fertilize that tree, you care for that tree, you ask your kids to not kick it or run it over with the mower, and you care for that tree until it's to a point that it can multiply itself and it can take care of itself. And that's the same with discipleship. That's the same thing with training for godliness. We're doing that for a purpose. We're doing that with a purpose so that we can multiply ourselves. The goal of being a disciple is making other disciples. And so this passage kind of references two different angles. It says the message that you have, the gospel that you've understood, the thing that has taken hold in your life, church, I want you to pass that on. And so I think there's probably two audiences as we look at that passage. There are probably some people that think like, yeah, I guess I'm a believer. I've been a believer for about 2 weeks now. I don't really feel like I've got a lot to pass on. So there are people who may say, I understand the gospel. I'm in a young relationship with Jesus, and I want to pass that on. But they would probably say, I wish there was someone to impart knowledge to me and to train me for ministry and to train me for godliness and to pass that on to me. There are people who would consider themselves right now in a position of being the student. They would just have to say, Lord, I want to be serious about my walk with faith. I want to commit. I want to be disciplined. I need someone to be in my life. I need someone to come into my life who can say, I'm going to teach you and I'm going to grow you. And there would be others who would say, well, I guess I have been a believer for a while. I guess I have done this Bible study and I have been in this small group, this movement group of people. I've learned this. I've mastered this. I've done ministry in this way. I've led this team. And those would be people who need to look at that passage and say, oh, I'm the person this is talking about. I'm the one they're talking to. I need to multiply myself in others. I need to reproduce myself in others. I need to raise up leaders, and I need to pass on what the gospel has meant for my life. And so I don't know if you'd put yourself in the student or the teacher category. Maybe you're in both. Maybe you feel like you do have some things that you can impart to people. If you know the gospel, you can share the gospel. And so I think we're all able to multiply the gospel in some way. But maybe you're in a spot where you would say, I need someone to pass the gospel on to, but I need someone to raise up their leadership in me. I need someone to multiply their leadership in me. Wherever you're at, I think this passage would speak to almost everyone in the room. You may not want to believe me when I say that, but I think that we need to understand that discipleship and multiplication and having the gospel in our lives are all one and the same. We can't say that we're a Christ follower and say, yeah, I might multiply myself in someone someday. I might help them grow or something. When we let the gospel take root in our life and take root in our heart, we are on a mission to multiply the gospel. I know that some of you don't know me. Some of you maybe don't like me. Sorry to bring it up. That's awkward. Maybe you don't want to hear that from me. So I asked my good friend Francis Chan, hey, can you make a video and tell this to us? He's a famous pastor. He said, Mark, how'd you get my number? And he said, there's a video on YouTube. Just steal that. So go ahead and watch this. I think this boils down in 2 minutes what we're trying to say, that we want to multiply ourselves, that we want to be about the kingdom, and the gospel should do that. Kind of funny and kind of offensive, right? Because most of us know that Scripture says make disciples, and yet we like to talk about the theory of that. We like to think that it doesn't apply to us in our busy season of life or however we position that. And yet God has said when the gospel takes hold in you, you will multiply that in others. You will make disciples. And so we see the legacy of Jesus as he spent time on earth for his ministry. We saw the people that he raised up and imparted the gospel to, and we saw the way that he used them to start the church, and that has been passed on to us. I want to take a moment and show you a chart here, and this is a chart that we have we've used for some time in movement. It's just a circle. It's not meant to be offensive, but it kind of positions some of the thinking and some of the things that we do as we live and exist in the church. I don't know if you can read that, but it basically takes a look at a disciple, and it basically says there are moments as the gospel is new to us. This is not meant to be demeaning, but that we would have to admit that we function like a newborn. When something is new and when we've entered into a relationship with Jesus, we say, I need to be fed right now. I need to grow. And yet there's a moment where we think, all right, well, I've learned truth. I've shared that. My behaviors have changed. My habits have changed. And so there's a moment where we have to say, Lord, I want to take a step. And now I desire to connect with you and to connect with your people and to see the body of Christ. And so there's a time that we're in kind of a newborn stage, an infant stage. There's a moment when many of us are in a stage where we're doing things like a younger child. It doesn't mean that we stop doing any of things, but as we progress, we still do all of these things. We share our life. We share new truth. We connect to family. We connect to purpose. At some point, there's a moment where we kind of function like a student that still lives at home, maybe. I didn't want to admit it. I didn't go around telling people in college, like, hey, how's your day? My mom still pays my credit card bill. You know, like I never advertised that, and yet my parents were helping me. They were paying my car insurance. I was working, but they were helping make college possible. And so there was still a way that I was dependent on them. And so there might be a time as a believer that you would say, I still need this mentor to speak into my life. I still need someone to lead the group that I'm in. I still need someone to remind me of truth. And yet there's a moment that you go from infant to a child, from a young adult to a parent. The thing that makes a parent is someone who has multiplied themselves, someone who has passed on who they are, someone who has replicated their DNA. I don't show this, like I said, to be offensive. I don't mean to say, hey, you've been a believer for 2 weeks and you're still an infant. I don't want anyone to think that. But I think as we think of life and discipleship and multiplication as a progression, there might be a moment where we just have to be honest and say, okay, I've functioned like this. Is it time for me to take a step? I've got knowledge. What does it look like to multiply my knowledge now? What does it look like for me to trust that Jesus has grown me? What does it look like to connect to purpose? That would be being in a group. That would be serving. And then what does it look like for me to not just be in a group? What does it look like for me to apprentice with a group? What does it look like for me to be a co-leader? God has grown me and his church has grown me. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, but this would be a moment where you would say, I believe I have leadership qualities. I have things that have been developed that can be passed on to others. And what does it look like for some of us who have been believers for a long time to be inconvenienced by people and to die to ourselves to multiply and say, I want the gospel to continue. I want this ministry to continue. I want this church to continue, and I want other churches to continue. I want this multiplication to continue long after I'm gone. And so I'm going to multiply myself. I'm going to reproduce myself. I'm going to pass on everything that I am and recreate that in others. Making disciples sounds really good, and so sometimes I think that we just get caught up in that and we forget that it's just taking small, practical steps from where we're at. Passing on ministry, passing on knowledge, letting go of things with the end goal of making disciples who make disciples who make disciples. We're all here gathered as a church because Jesus started this pattern and his disciples continued it. The gospel didn't die 51 generations ago, but it's passed to us through the church and through other faithful believers. And so I want to take a moment and just highlight what this looked like as Jesus lived it out. This is a process that we try to duplicate here at Movement called apprenticing, and it's not perfect, but I think it's a chance for people to share life and to multiply themselves and provide opportunities and provide support as people are grown and as people are raised up. And we see this in the life of Jesus. The first part of apprenticing is simply the selection process. It's a passage in Mark. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. What did Jesus say to them? Come follow me. Now, maybe that's a more simple telling of it, and maybe it's not, but Jesus literally looked at some guys and said, hey, come and follow me. And they probably knew who he was, and they knew what he was about, and they knew that he didn't mean, hey, we're going to go have some Starbucks, and you'll be right back at your job. When he said, come follow me, he knew that things had changed, and their lives would be changed. And they saw him, they knew who he was, they knew what he was calling them to, and they said, yeah, I want to do that. I want to respond to that. And so Jesus would simply go through a process of selection and call people to his ministry. After he was done with that, he would kind of lay out what was expected. He would just say, this is what it looks like to follow me. This is what it looks like to function. And so in Mark 3, Jesus was up on a mountainside and he was talking to the disciples. He was praying and he said that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. He was talking to his father. He was talking about these disciples. He said, I'm going to send them out and they're going to be the multiplication of this message, of this ministry. And so he would identify them. He would shoulder tap them and say, hey, I want you to be a part of my ministry. I want you to follow me. And then he would say, here's the end goal. Here's what we're going toward. And he prepared them. I don't have time to highlight every story and every parable in all the gospels, but we saw Jesus traveling with them, teaching them, working with them, correcting them. Times when he had to wake them up and say, you should have a heart more like a child. Or times when he said, you need to be dependent on the Father and you need to pray as I am. But Jesus would select his disciples. He laid out an expectation and then he prepared them. And there was a moment of graduation, selection, expectation, preparation, graduation, where Jesus would say, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out two by two, and I'm giving you authority. He knew that his time would pass, and so he was telling the disciples, it's okay to think and dream beyond my physical presence now, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to my Father, and I want you to know that this message must continue with you. That's what we want apprenticeship to look like at Movement Church. And so this isn't perfect, but there's a network of churches that we're a part of called the New Thing Network, and a conference that Josh and I recently got to go to, our staff got to go to. And this is their picture. This is their leadership path. This is what we've tried to duplicate because we think it works for multiplying people in churches and for raising up new leaders. We know that there are people that come into a church who may have known Jesus, who may not, and they would just say, I'm interested in ministry. I'm interested in being a part of this. There might be a time that they say, I'm serving in Movement Kids, and someone taps them on the shoulder of the selection process and says, hey, have you ever thought about leading this room? Have you ever thought about being the person in charge of the nursery? You say, no, I haven't thought of that, but I guess I've seen the person that does it, and I can be a part of that. And then maybe someone says, hey, have you ever thought about overseeing other people? No, I can do that. And so there's a moment that they go from a volunteer to a leader. There might be a moment that they apprentice, but eventually there might be a moment that someone says, hey, you've been volunteering, you've been seeing how teams are led, you've been seeing all of these things going on, and now you've been leading this room. You're the apprentice, or you've seen how this ministry is run. Is there any chance that you would want to move up? This person is shifting and is moving their focus. Could you lead this ministry? Yes, they will still be scared. Yes, they may be nervous. Yes, they will still have to lean on someone. Yes, they will have to ask questions. But someone has walked beside them, and someone has taught them ministry, and someone has modeled things for them, and someone has invested in them, and they can say, yeah, I am able to do that. And there may be a moment that someone says to that person, hey, have you ever thought about leading a bunch of leaders? Have you ever thought about leading a campus of a church? Or have you thought about being a church planner? Have you thought about doing a church planning residency or an internship? Because we've seen you multiply yourself. We've seen you raise up other leaders. We've seen you care for people, and we believe in you. The things that we do are not perfect, and they're not meant to just be this mindless ladder that moves people right away, but we do those things with intention and with purpose. And so we believe that apprenticeship prepares people and multiplies the gospel as we want to multiply the gospel in churches. We have people who are in positions, who are in a position as an apprentice or as an assistant leader. And if there's a chance someday that we multiply a church, that we plant a church, we may come to those people and say, hey, guess who's the most qualified to run the kids ministry at the new church that we'll be planting? The person that works under the kids director now. Or if that kids director chooses to go, we may say, hey, who do you think is most qualified to rise up and to lead that? And so for creative arts, for worship, for kids, for first impressions, we want to see people engaging in that process as they've been shoulder tapped and they've been selected and they've learned of the expectations and they've been prepared. We want to graduate them on for multiplication and for other ministry and for the gospel. Not because it's a cool system and because it works, but we want to do that because it makes disciples who make disciples who make disciples. I think as we look at this, I mentioned that there are people who may find themselves in the teacher category, who may find themselves in the student category, or maybe somewhere in the middle. But I think we all find ourselves at a place of decision and a place where we need to engage in this process. And so maybe you've already engaged in being a volunteer and you feel like you're being apprenticed for ministry and you feel like you're multiplying your skills. But maybe it's time that you say, all right, who have I raised up? There are many, many people in this room that I don't know. Some of you are here with friends, some of you are here with acquaintances, or maybe you've met someone in this room or in the halls here that you've talked to them, and maybe you look at them and you think, hey, the ministry that I do, they would also be really good at. I just work with kids because it's something to do. They love kids. They might even be better than me. Maybe you say, nobody even knows that guy plays guitar. I wonder if he could be in the band. I wonder if he could lead us in worship. And so I think some of that is up to us, to tap people on the shoulder and say, hey, I see gifting in you. I see potential in you. I see passion in you. Would you like to be a part of this ministry? Would you like to be a part of what we do? It might be having the boldness to slide into a role where you're raising people up. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. It doesn't mean that you won't mess up. You'll teach someone a lot when you mess up. I like to regularly apologize to the people that look to me, even if I don't think I've messed up, just because I probably have twice in that week, right? And so this doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means you understand the gospel multiplies itself, and it's our job to multiply disciples. And there may be some of you that have just been sitting and looking and figuring things out, figuring out your walk, figuring out Movement Church, and you may just say, all right, I'm ready to be a part of this process. I understand that disciples are on a mission. They're multiplying themselves. And so they need to be selected. They need to engage in this process. You may be for the first time saying, I want to volunteer. I want to use my gifts. I want to be a part of something. I want to multiply myself and multiply churches. And so simply, I think the outcome and what I believe we're being called to do is to take a step in that process. If you've been in a place where you've said, yeah, I'm kind of existing. I'm kind of getting by. I want to serve. I want to engage in serving others. Maybe you're saying, I've been serving, I'm doing that. I want to engage in a very purposeful process. I want to be an apprentice who says, help me graduate. Help me expand my gifts. Help me multiply my gifts. Help me make disciples who make disciples. And maybe you're in a spot where you could say, I've kind of been doing that, but I want to be serious about this because I feel like God has called me to step out in faith. I think I'm going to be one of the people who may go on that church plant. I believe I might be one of the people that God is calling to plant a church or to be a major part of a church plant team, and I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. Wherever you would put yourself in that category, maybe you need to engage in volunteering for the first time. Maybe you need to step up and be a defined apprentice. Maybe you're saying that you've been a student and you want to be a teacher, or you've been a student and you're looking for a teacher. I invite you to go to the Next Steps table today and engage in that. If you would say, I want to volunteer for the first time because I want to multiply myself and multiply my gifts, you can talk to someone there and they'll tell you what's available. If you would say, I'm on a team, but I want to engage in that more, I want to multiply as an apprentice, I want to be trained for ministry to be sent out, we'd love for you to talk to someone about that. That doesn't mean that life will be magic, that life will be like a perfect graph, that life will be easier, but it means that you'll be engaging in the process, and the purpose of being a disciple is making more disciples. Let's pray. Father God, we are grateful for your love for us. We are grateful for your sacrifice. And Lord, we want to fully understand and fully live out the mission you've put before us. God, we want to know your heart for people, your heart for multiplication. We want to live it out. So God, I pray that we will take serious your call to make disciples. We won't just talk about it. We won't just know what that means, but we will be about it. God, help us to have boldness. Help us to have your heart. Lord, help us to rise to the challenge of multiplying, to understand the challenge, to know it won't be perfect, but to be excited about it. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the way that you grow us and grow your church. It's in your name I pray. Amen.